mercy and grace. We want to thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
We want to thank you for the power of that Holy Spirit. The blood and the Spirit of God working together.
Hallelujah.
Father, to bring forth a revelation of personality. A revelation of fellowship. A revelation of entity. Father, a revelation of God.
Oh, yeah.
Not the God that is without, but that of God that is within.
Amen.
Father, we want to thank you for the breaking of the bread of life, that we have this opportunity to gather ourselves together. Father, we have taken it for granted so many different times.
Oh, Jesus.
And we do not understand the seriousness sometimes of the hour in which we live. And Father, we are so appreciative that we have yet one more opportunity, that we have one more time, Father, that we can come together to fellowship, to worship you, to exalt you, to lift you up in the midst of this place, Lord. And we take authority over these spirits.
Hallelujah.
Father, that want to bring division or separation, that want to bring contention, that want to bring strife, that want to distract. Father, that want to divert us, Lord. We come against it with the blood of Jesus Christ. Father, we present our minds to you this evening.
Yes, yes.
Father, let your Spirit be upon our minds, upon our thoughts. Father, let those other thoughts, those peripheral things, Father, let them be put to the side. Let them be. Let their mouth be still. Father, it says that we might hear your voice through this otherworldly noise.
Oh, yeah.
Lord, the noise of our flesh, the noise of our emotion, the noise of our desires. Father, we are a people who have come for one purpose. At least, Father, it is our intent that that purpose of God might be made known unto us, that we might be fulfilled, that we might be strengthened, that we might be energized, that we might be given the determination and the tenacity that is required in this last hour.
Amen.
So, Father, we come. We present our minds to you. We present our emotions to you. We present our desires to you. Let our desires be those things that your heart desires us to have. My God, praise the Lord. We pray that you would give us the strength to say, not my will, but thine be done.
Amen.
Father, even as Jesus prayed there in the garden, and you sent the word of God to minister to him, Lord Jesus, minister to us this weekend, I pray.
Amen.
We ask it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Can you say amen like
amen.
You did?
Amen. Amen.
Oh, come on.
Amen.
You seem very tired.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Well, praise God. I have a word for this young man right here. There was something the Lord spoke to me early on when I first met him, when he was coming into the hotel, and when I was told his name was Benjamin. The Lord said he has a big name to live up to. Praise the Lord. And there's something in the name that is a word that that the Lord wants me to share with you concerning it. Let me see here. I want to get that it really comes. The name Benjamin comes from two different words. One of the words that it comes from is the word that means son. But it goes more into just son. The way the Strong's words, it's really not coming up on my, when you know, devil got into my deal. Hallelujah. It means a builder. Builder of a family, a builder of one who builds, but not in the sense in the natural, but more in the sense of a family. It also has the connotation of you're talking about Israel and you're talking about tribes. It has the connotation of tribal. Well, we are of the tribe of Judah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. After the inheritance of God. Praise the Lord. Okay, let me see here, if I can get it here. But the other one, the other part of the name, it's not there, but the other part of the name comes from a word that means the right side. Not necessarily just the right hand, but the right side. So it's really dealing with a spiritual. It's really dealing with a spiritual destiny. Your parents named you very well, and they really weren't just giving you a name; they were prophesying over you. And as you look into the Bible, and I don't know so much that it was the right side, but it was the side out of Adam that God took the rib to create the woman, which we are talking about the church. So there is a destiny that God has for you, young man. You may not understand all of this right now, but I'm sure if it's on the tape, then you will. Your parents can go over it with you. It's something for you to know that you have a destiny in God that circumvents any other destiny that you may have in your mind or that you may have in your mind at a later date. And, you know, you really aren't too young to know the reality of God. There was a young man called Samuel when he was 5 years old who had been dedicated for a particular purpose. And his particular purpose was to be in the house of God and to hear the word of God. And he was a vehicle through which that word would come in order to direct Israel, to instruct Israel, to bring judgment to Israel. So there is something in all of that that God has prepared for you as a young man. And not just as a young man, but as a young boy. Praise the Lord. So we want to bless you in the name of the Lord.
Amen.
And we believe in the word of God. We believe in the word of prophecy. And I'm not talking about the prophecy that I'm speaking to you in the aspect of what I'm saying to you now, but I'm talking about the prophecy that is within your, that has been given to you by virtue of the name that you are called.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Praise
the
Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
There is also another word the Lord spoke to me this evening. As I have been meditating and praying and looking to the Lord concerning this weekend and the things that are going on, and the word of God that is that will be coming. And one of the things that, as I was talking to Brother Hubert, there was something the Lord dropped in my mind. And he said, this is the year of new beginnings. Praise the Lord. Now, that's a funny word, isn't it? It's April. Praise the Lord. Usually, I am seeking the Lord in December. For the coming year, but you know, this year that the Lord did not give it to me, and I thought, well, there must be something wrong here. You know, I'm not hearing correctly, or something. I'm not hearing at all. But I think it was an intentional. But you know, as we were coming here, I found out that it was Passover. We were traveling on Passover, which was the 15th, and so this is the beginning of the Jewish calendar year.
Yes, it is.
April. Hallelujah. Nisan? Nisan?
Abib.
It is the year Abib. And it is the beginning of God's calendar. Praise the Lord. And I might be putting my neck out there on the block. I don't know, but I've already done that on a number of times. I'm going to do it one more time, just to reinforce it. The Lord spoke to me this last couple of months. I was in Ethiopia. We were having trouble with the water situation, and when I found out that it was the word of God and God told me to stop grumbling and listen, he began to talk to me concerning this word that we are ministering, this word that we are endeavoring to bring into a position or a place of reality, as at least I hope we are, as to our lives and living. And if you haven't got that message, I would suggest that you get it. One of them is called Waterworks, I sent it to you earlier today. And the other one is called The Rock, The Water, and The Promise. And they both go together. You should read the one on water works first. And if what the Lord is telling me is indeed the Lord, which you have to ascertain, I believe it is, or I wouldn't have shared it, hallelujah, it seems like there's just a little bit of time left for us to get our acts together, to get ourselves in a position of being obedient to the Word of God that He has given us in the aspect of overcoming. Because in that word, there was the parable of the fig tree that God brought to me concerning the husbandman and the keeper of the husbandman and the owner of the vineyard. Well, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to understand that it's talking about God and the church. Praise the Lord. And the fig tree is pertinent to you and I. For a minute, I thought I was in the wrong place. I thought I was in Ulio. Praise the Lord. Amen. It's so good to see you, sister. Hallelujah. The fig tree is indicative of the sons of God. It's particular. It's not indicative of the holy place church, per se. It's individual. It's a fig tree that bears many fruit. It's a tree that bears many fruit. Not just one, but many fruit, but it's one tree. Praise the Lord. And and that tree is those of us who have heard this particular word. Some of us for 25 years, maybe, or maybe 30 years. How long has it been?
So long.
You don't really want to say it, do you? Hallelujah. It's been a long time that we have heard this word. And now we are coming, as it were, in the time of the fulfillment or the fullness of that dispensation. And we don't want to believe it. We don't want to believe it. We want to believe that it's still got some time left. But praise God, I don't think we got that much time left. In fact, if the word of God is true, maybe we have just one more year. I said pretty emphatically that I believe that it was the word of the Lord. So we have one more year. And God comes to the husband and he says, look, this tree has not borne the fruit that it's supposed to bear. Why are we wasting our time with it? Why don't we just rip it out and just put something else in its place? And there was an interceder, by the way.
Yes. Yes.
There was an interceder there. He was interceding for the tree.
Yes.
Now, we also have to keep in mind that the parable of the fig tree on his way to Jerusalem is the continuation of that parable of the fig tree in the vineyard. Mm-hmm. Hello?
Yes.
Hallelujah. What happened to that fig tree? Jesus came by what? Expecting fruit. So it must have been the end of the year. Hello? Hallelujah. They're not connected like right together, but in the spirit. You have a fig tree in the vineyard, and you have a fig tree on the way to Jerusalem. Is that a happen chance? Jerusalem is indicative of a position or a place or a gathering of people who are moving together as a community, but not only as a community, but they're moving together as a unit, as an entity, as a personality that has the fullness of God within them. Praise the Lord. Well, let me back that up a little bit. Not the fullness of God, but they have the word of the fullness of God. When you come to begin to understand the word Jerusalem and Zion, yeah. Zion is the fullness of Jerusalem.
Hallelujah.
It's out of Jerusalem, Zion was being raised up. Hallelujah. So Zion is indicative of that company of sonship. They're indicative of that company of people that have considered the cost and they have committed to pay. Hallelujah.
Yes,
not only have they committed to pay, but they are going to pay. Yes. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And there's another, you know, I don't know. Brethren, forgive me if you think I'm being presumptuous or out of place or something, but my life, I don't believe, is circumstantial. Hallelujah. I think there's a specific reason, a specific purpose why God has called me. And it's just not me. There is a specific reason, there's a specific purpose why God has called each one of you.
Amen.
Yes. Hallelujah. And that purpose, that position or that thought in God's mind is the same for you as the same for me. If that is true, then anything and everything that happens to me has some consequence in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Because the city of Jerusalem is made up of many different stones. It's not made up of one individual stone. Christ is the cornerstone. And from that cornerstone, the whole city finds its position or its relationship in God as being a city that the Bible calls what? Four square. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Well, somebody got a revelation out of it and they made a denomination. Hallelujah. It isn't by happen chance that that happened, because we are on the verge of, let me back that up. We have passed over the threshold into denominational thinking.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And God is shaking us. He's shaking us in our personal set of circumstances. And I want to tell you something else. When you decided, when you committed yourself, at least I hope it was that you committed yourself, to follow or to pursue after this word, you gave God the license. You gave God you came into an agreement with God to absolutely touch every aspect and every facet of your life that wasn't consistent with your calling and election.
Yes, that's
Hallelujah.
Right.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I found out, this last time in Ethiopia, I found out that there is a lot of things that we take for granted. Now, you probably have had some more experience and you didn't have to deal with some of these elementary things. But one of the things that we had to deal with was water and not having enough of it. Hello? And I began to find out how very unconservative I am with water. Huh? You turn the faucet on and it's running cold and you want hot. What do? You just keep letting it run, go down the drain, hallelujah, until you get the hot water. Isn't that what you do?
Yes.
Or am I the only one that had that habit? Huh? Hallelujah. Well, I found out when you don't have water, you have to go get it. And go getting it is not an easy task, not in Ethiopia. Hallelujah. You have to have a vehicle, which we did not have, and I had to get one to go get it. Then you have to have somebody who can go with you to find the source of which to get the water from. Praise the Lord. And then when you go get it, you have to buy it. Hello? Hallelujah. When I turn on my water faucet at home, I just pay the bill at the end of the month. Hello? Hallelujah. And then when you get it and you buy it, you still don't have the benefit of it. It's in a 25 liter jug. You got to pick that jug up. You got to carry it over. And I was sitting out in the van one day, and I'm watching these young ladies come, and they got these big 25 liter. They're heavy. They are really heavy. Hello?
Yes.
They're heavy. You gotta lift them in a certain way, or you'll pull the muscles in your arm. Well, of course, you're young, you're strong, you're very athletic. Probably you won't have the same problems that I have. But you know, you lift those things; they're heavy. Hello, hallelujah. And I found myself having to ask for somebody to help me to lift it. Huh? Praise the Lord. And so when you do this a couple of times, you become a little more water conservative conscious. Huh? So if I want hot water and it's not there, I run it into a bucket. I want to catch it. Because the bucket is easier to carry than the big 25-gallon liter jar. Hello? Hallelujah. And you save that water and you use it sparingly. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And you know the word of God is indicative of the water is indicative of the word of God. Yeah. It says, "I the washing of the water of the word." And I wonder how much of the word we let go down the drain.
Oh, Jesus.
I wonder how much work we let go down the drain.
Jesus.
Waiting for that hot thing come forth. Waiting for that steam to start coming up out of the faucet. Praise the Lord. Now all that water just running down the drain. Running down the drain. Hallelujah. Brethren, we are not cognizant. We are not aware of the preciousness and the scarcity.
Yes.
The scarcity of what it is that we have, and we sling it around.
Yes.
Hello? 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 Are you there?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. You know, I hear so many people say, well, God said, God said, God said, God said, God said, God said. Well, I go into my Bible, and when I see God say, something happens.
Yes.
Exactly. Hello? Come on. Something happens. Something changed. Something is created.
Hallelujah. Yes.
There is no word of God that God will give you that does not create something if you speak it.
Hallelujah.
Hello? Hallelujah. I don't know what it is about us other than it is our humanity thinking and our in our position, our place of living that is so much down here that what Brother Dusil used to call low bite. Hello? Hallelujah. You remember that?
Yes.
Hallelujah. We're not supposed to be people that are biting the dirt as well as the grass. We are people who are supposed to be eating living bread. Hallelujah. Jesus said, your fathers did eat the manna, hello, and they are dead.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Well, we're eating manna that the fathers ate, and we're not living.
Oh, Jesus.
We're not living. We're not living. We're not changing. We're not developing. We're not coming to a place of overcoming.
Oh, Jesus.
We're not coming to a position or a place of manifesting. Things around us control us. Environments control us. Jobs control us. Our finances control us. Our political affiliation controls us. All of the environment working to channel you, to move you, to put you in a particular mode and to send you down a particular path. Hallelujah. And we're like pawns in a game when we're supposed to be the game master. There was a word. There was something that God spoke in the very beginning to Adam and Eve. Hello? Hallelujah.
Amen.
The thing that he spoke is, have dominion.
Yes.
Have dominion. Bring into subjection. And you know something, brother? If you want signs of times, hello?
Oh, yeah.
Hallelujah. Look what's happening in the world today. Look what's happening in the different geographical locations. Look what's happening in Africa. Look what's happening here in Europe. Hello?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Oh, you've got this big body of water between you and Europe. Come on, brethren. Hallelujah. You got Russia over there knocking on the door of the Ukraine. You think he's going to stop at the Ukraine? Huh? You think so?
No, sir.
No, 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 sir. Ah, the one thing the devil wants is always more.
That's right.
One thing you can count on that the devil will always ask for is more. He gives you a little money, you want a little more money.
Huh?
Oh, yes, 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 he gives you a little money and you improve your lifestyle, so you have to do something else to get more money to make your lifestyle even better.
Yes, sir.
Hello?
Yes.
Come on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And there's a position, there's a place of responsibility that we as a people have concerning the Word of God that we has been given to us individually. And now, brethren, please. I'm not trying to force you into a mold. I'm not trying to push you down a path. I'm not trying to shove something down your throat. I'm just telling you the facts of life. Huh? You know what the facts of life are, right? Hello? If you have a gun, and it's got a bullet in it, and you point it at your head, and you pull the trigger, what's going to happen? Huh? You're going to blow your brains out. You're going to be dead, 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 dead. Hello? So if you have a son, and he has a gun, what are you going to teach him? What are you going to teach him about that gun? That gun can kill you, son. I grew up in a hunting family, by the way. My father was a hunter. He took us hunting. He took us fishing. I didn't care for fishing. I just wanted to shoot and watch it drop. Hallelujah. But one thing he taught us was how to handle guns.
Yes.
Hello? He didn't want us to blow our foot off. He didn't want us to blow our head off. And he told us, you point this gun at somebody and you pull the trigger, they're dead. And then he takes a big box and he puts it out there and he points the gun at it and pulls the trigger and it blows the box to pieces. Wow! He said, just imagine that being your head.
Yeah.
Huh? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We are living in serious times. You know, there was a word. I'm going to mention this. I'm going to throw it out on the table. I'll probably get in trouble for it, but that's all right. Brother Duciel had a word. Now, brethren, I'm not basing it on current events. I'm not basing it on the aspects of time and what he thought that word might have meant. But he said that there was great destruction coming in 2008. Now, I know Brother Duciel very well. I know him very intimately. I know him inside and out. You understand? I know the man hears from God. Hello? And that 2008, it was a real and a word that was coming from God. Now, where is 2008? I don't know. But there is a 2008 that is around the corner. And we are seeing signs and times out here in the world around us. Hello?
Yes.
Hallelujah. I'll let you chew on this one. In August of last year, hallelujah, I was sitting I was getting ready to come to Africa. I was to leave the 31st of July. And I probably shared this with you all, but I'm going to share it again because nobody believed it then. Hallelujah. Oh no, you don't believe it. You don't believe the word of God. You look at me, you see a human being. You see the positions or the place of my flesh. You see my shortcomings. You see all the things about me that are negative. Well, that's all well and good. But that doesn't mean that God can't talk through a donkey.
That's right. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And God brought the word to a prophet through a donkey.
Yes.
And that word saved a man's life.
Right.
Hallelujah. What if he had ignored the word? The angel would have smote him. What if the donkey did not intervene in the man's path? God used a soul of a man and put it in a donkey to deal with the soul of an ass in a man. Hallelujah. How much more is God going to talk to us in this hour?
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You know, there's something very prophetic about all of it. Do you understand? Mm. A donkey, an ass is a very stubborn animal. Stubborn, 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 stubborn. Hallelujah. And you got to do some very innovative things sometime to get that donkey to move.
Huh? That's right.
Hallelujah. And it was divine intervention to get the donkey to be like a man, begun to talk like a man. There was something creative that God had to do with that donkey to deal with the heart of the man.
Oh, yes.
But it still didn't stop him. Can you imagine that? A donkey talking to a man and telling him what the will of God is, and that there's an angel over there ready to smite him, and the man just turns around and circumvents his sanctuary.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Well, don't be too hard on the man because you're looking in a mirror.
That's right.
Right. You're looking in a mirror. Oh, we have plans. We have things laid out. Some of us have plans laid out for the next 5 years. Hallelujah. Oh, well, that's because you're not 70 years old yet. Praise the Lord. And you think you got them 5 years out in front of you. Brethren, you don't know what's out there tomorrow.
Man,
sure. You know, you could wake up tomorrow and you could find Russia sitting on the border of Poland.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
You could. Hello? And not only that, but there was a word of prophecy that Abuja was going to be burned to the ground. Hallelujah. And I saw in the paper just the other day, what was it, 47 people killed and 143 injured in Abuja at one of their main hubs there. Huh? That's just the beginning. That's the tip of the iceberg.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, my.
And I'll tell you something else. There was a word 20 years ago that came that Nigeria was going to be split.
Right.
Do you remember the word?
Amen.
It was going to be split. And you know, at the time of that word, there was a plane full of officials that were flying from Port Harcourt to Lagos or Lagos to Port Harcourt or something. And the whole plane came down with all of the government inside of it. You remember that?
Yes.
Do anybody remember that?
Yes.
Hallelujah. And do you remember the word of God that was speaking about it? Hello? Hallelujah. You know, God has been talking to us for many years, but this, yes. But in the time frame that we live, He's getting very, very, very specific. Hello? Yes. And you know, we are in the time of buying oil, brother.
Yes.
I believe it. I believe we're in the time of buying oil. And if we don't do what we're supposed to do to buy the oil, when we come down to the end of the day, we will not have the oil we need.
Amen.
And if you think God is just going to miraculously move in some way, oh boy, if I'm just shoving this down your throat, forgive me. Hallelujah. But I don't want you dead. And I certainly don't want your blood on my hand. I don't want to get up in the morning and, oh my God, I got blood, I got blood, I got blood.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah. Something has to radically change. And I'm not leaving you in the lurch and say, well, what is it? Get down and begin to seek God like your life depended upon it.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Seek God. Rend your heart, brethren.
Yes.
Not
amen.
Your garments.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And I'll say to amen.
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 Hallelujah. Because God is not playing around. God is not fooling around. God don't have the time. Hello? Time is coming to a close. Let me get back to Brother Duseal's 2008. Hallelujah. Well, I found some place where it was 2006.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
And I've been living there. So I'm back in time now. You are all out there in the future. I'm back in time. Okay. And 2008 is coming around for me again.
Yeah.
Hello. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We do not know the economy of God. Let me refresh your mind a little bit. When I was coming to Africa in July 31st, I was traveling, and sometime just a few days before I left, the spirit of grief just came down on me, hard on me. Hallelujah! Felt so bad. I was almost sick with the feeling of grief. And I could not figure out. I said, why, my God, what is going on here? Am I going to die? Isn't that funny how we always think about our physical life? Am I going to die? Will I not see my family again? Will I not? So I'm calling everybody up and saying, hey, grandson, granddaughter, this is granddad. I want to tell you how much I love you. Hallelujah. Call my wife up and say to her, you know, honey, I love you so very much, please. Just remember how much I love you. I call these people up that I might have a little bit, and try to reach them and say, you know, I just want you to try to forgive me for whatever I'm doing. Well, at least it worked the repentance in me. Hallelujah. So I'm thinking, what's going to happen? Maybe I'm going to get stuck in Africa. Can you imagine being stuck in Africa and not being able to go anywhere? Because when I go to Africa, I always have a return ticket. Well, what if there's no airlines? Or what if there's no United States to come back to? Hello? Hallelujah.
Jesus.
Hallelujah. You know, we're so presumptuous in our thinking. Oh, yeah, you got a ticket, you're going back home, right?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Well, something happened here recently with that Malaysian airliner.
Yeah.
I want to tell you something in the spirit. Something in the spirit. It's so unsettling to me.
Yes.
And I just heard a little bit of it. I was in Ethiopia. I wasn't getting the news, you understand? I couldn't find out what was going on, whether they found it, whether they couldn't find it. Can you imagine in this hour of technology that they cannot find a big plane with 239 people on it? How can they just lose it? Hallelujah. But there was something in the spirit. I'm still looking to God to answer it. Hallelujah. You know, every one of them people that got on that plane had an expectation of getting off of the plane at their particular destination.
That's right.
Jesus.
Huh? And you go to bed at night with the expectation of getting up and being able to perform what it is that is in your mind. We're presumptuous. And the closer I get to 70, Oh, yes, the closer I get to 70, the more I am uncertain of my ability to exist. I have been given a certain grace by God. Isn't that right, Brother Mark? I've been given a certain grace by God. I have been given an authority for 70 years. Anything other than that and beyond that is dependent upon the will of God. Hello? So when I get up in the morning on my 70th birthday, hello? It's a serious thing for me. Oh, when I was 30, I didn't think about it. When I was 40, I didn't think about it. When I was 50, it began to become something of a dawning. When I turned 60, it got a little more serious. When I got 65, oh my God. I look at myself in the mirror and say, who is this guy? Who is this guy? Just put a sack over his head. Cut little eye holes in it. Hallelujah. Come on, brethren. This is serious business. We are so presumptuous. We are so presumptuous. I get up in the morning in Ethiopia and I got no electricity. Hallelujah. And if I had water, I couldn't pump it. Hallelujah. Oh my goodness. Hallelujah. We are so presumptuous. Presumptuous. Hello? Hallelujah. It says, seek me early. Yeah. Seek me early. Jesus. And you know, there's one scripture that's really coming to me that has been a blessing. He says, his mercy.
Yes.
Are new.
Yes.
Every morning.
Yes.
How many of you take the time in the morning to appropriate that mercy? Or do you just take it for granted that it's there, that it's yours, and you put it on as you put your clothes on and as you go out the door? Hello? Hallelujah. We are so much into living on a horizontal level. We are so much in a position, a place of living in a natural environment with natural things when we're not created to be natural. You're not created to be natural. You go to such lengths to ensure that your children are educated. For how long? How long? And what will it that they will achieve at the end of the day? You know, there is not one individual who has gone into the university that I have met in the body of Christ, hallelujah, that is not lukewarm.
Yes, amen.
Hallelujah. And if you look at your young people, brother, one of the sisters, I think it was Ruby, had a dream about going over the edge. Going over the edge. Hallelujah. And one right after another, like dominoes, going over the edge, going over the edge, going over the edge. And then we look at our children and we wonder, why are they not on fire? Why are they not on fire? Why are they not interested in God? Why are they kind of lackadaisical in their attitude? Why aren't they on fire?
Yes.
On fire!
Man.
Hallelujah. For God. Why? Because you've got them in a system that is anti-Christ.
That's right.
I don't care how good your professors are. That's I don't right. care how good your scholastic ability is. Praise the Lord. I don't care in the structure of education and way it is made on the public lane, on the public level. Hello? And you know what? We send our kids to school to get them out of our hair. Or we want a lifestyle that it takes both my husband and wife working. That's what we want. And we don't want to put up with, oh, I need that break. Oh, if I had to have my kids at home, I'd shoot myself in the head. Oh, yes, I've heard it. I've heard it. What would I do with them all day? Whining, crying, throwing fits, messing up the house. Huh? Come on. Hello? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are they hard words? I'm sorry.
Reality.
Hallelujah. We are living in a precarious time. We are supposed to be a peculiar people. And you know what? In homeschooling, do we teach them what we believe? Or do we concentrate on reading, writing, and arithmetic? I don't know how it is here. I know what it is in America. For the norm. The norm is reading, writing, and arithmetic. And we think that they are going to get the rest of it by osmosis. We don't teach them what we believe. We don't teach them the basics of tabernacle, of the things that are pertaining to the furniture in the tabernacle, as pertains to them, and the reality of it. We don't teach them how to pray for a position of reality with God. We don't teach them how to touch God's garment.
That's right.
Hallelujah. If they come to us with something of a need, we just dig in our pocket and bring it out and give it to them. Hallelujah. And then we wonder when they reach of an age, as they reach out of a place, that they're not on fire and they're still knocking on mom and dad's door. Huh? Hallelujah. I had to learn the hard way. You understand, I had to learn the hard way. Hallelujah. Concerning some of these issues. And you know what? We believed in homeschooling. We took our kids out of school. And we began to teach them, but I did not give them what they needed in the aspect of a foundation. I thought because I was involved in it and they were sitting in the home fellowship meeting, they were getting it. They weren't getting it. They weren't getting it. They weren't grasping the reality of it.
God.
Hallelujah. And then when they grow up, 12, 13, they start to rebel. Huh? Oh yes, they start to rebel. And it's, why are they rebelling? Because I did not do my job. And then they go into suffering. Oh, your heart bleeds for your kids when they're suffering. But sometimes suffering is necessary. God's doing for them what you should have done back there at the beginning. Now God has to do it. Why? Because you've asked Him to do it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I've gone through some hard, I've gone through some hard lessons with my children. And it was so unnecessary. If I would have taken the time and I would have taken the energy to invest in them the reality of God.
Amen.
Invest in them. I should have been taking them to Africa with me, not sending them down there to the corner school. Oh, I couldn't afford it. Come on, give me a break. Hallelujah. I should not have been able to afford not doing it. Huh? And that's another thought, I've heard some talk here and there about the expense of this conference. How much is your salvation worth? How much is your calling and election worth? What price would you put on it?
Hallelujah.
What price? And what extent would you go to put yourself into a position or in a place? Or maybe it's just you do not believe that God has called a solemn assembly. It's church.
Oh, yeah.
Another conference, another convention. Well, you don't know that because you may not be here to hear what it is God is saying.
Oh my God.
Hallelujah. You know, when I was a young man and we growing up with children and all of that, we didn't have a lot of money. We had to work hard. We were carpenters. We were basically manual laborers. We didn't have a lot of money. Hello? But I could not afford not to go to a conference. I could not afford not to take my children. I couldn't afford it because the spiritual consequence would be so catastrophic. Hallelujah.
Yes,
if our children were taught to invest themselves in God as much as they are taught in their scholastic achievement.
Yes.
We demand A's and we demand B's, right? They come home with a bad report card. What happens? They get grounded. Huh? Or maybe. Huh? Hallelujah. Or they get scolded. Or they get somehow, some way punished in some manner or fashion. Well, that's all well and good. That's probably a good thing. But what about their soul?
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Our young people are not on fire for God. They're not involved in missions. They don't want to be involved in mission. And if they want to be involved in mission, we kind of discourage them.
Oh, Jesus.
And say that they have to do other things first. Then they can go to mission. Hallelujah. Well, I'm not making the same mistake with my grandchildren.
Praise the Lord.
I'm not making that same mistake. Hallelujah. I'm not making that same mistake. Hallelujah. And you know what? When in the early days of the United States, there were men and women and children who were blazing trails from the East Coast to the West Coast. They were going into uncharted territory. They were establishing homes. They were establishing communities. And those communities are the thing that became what we call the United States of America. We are a recipient of their sacrifice. We are a recipient of their dedication. We are a recipient of their position or the place. Hallelujah. That reminds me, I want to go back to August. Hallelujah. Yes. I want to go back to August when I was feeling this grief and I began to pray and I began to seek God as I was sitting in the airport on the plane. And when I came to my destination here, and not here, but over there in Port Harcourt, I believe it was, that feeling began to leave. It began to lift off of me. Hallelujah. And so over a period of several weeks there, as we were involved in the ministry and working in the different areas that we were going, it kind of dissipated and I forgot about it. Now, how could I forget such an experience? But it was gone. It was like on the back shelf now, filed away somewhere. Hallelujah. But when I came home in September, I was sitting at my table and I was reading an account of what had happened in that incident with Benghazi.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
It wasn't what happened in the nature of the violence. It wasn't even the fact that four people or more had lost their lives in the destruction and the disrespect. Hallelujah. What it was, as I was reading it, is the fact that we did nothing about it. Do you understand? There was no retaliation. There was no corrective action that was taken. It was zilch. It was nothing. Hallelujah. And it was a spiritual thing now. It's not a natural thing. Mm-hmm. Because God, and as I'm reading that spirit of grief,
yes,
begins to come back over me just like a blanket that is being dropped over me. Have you ever got under a wet blanket? I got it wrapped up in a wet blanket. It's so stifling and so suffocating. That grief came down on me.
Oh, Jesus.
Hallelujah. And that evening as I was talking to some of the brethren and I was explaining to them, begin to share with them, my God, God waited all that time for that time, for that place, for that moment. He began to speak to me and he spoke a particular word. He said, it is a knelling. I didn't even know what the word knelling was. It's K-N-E-L-L-I-N-G. It's a knelling of a bell. Maybe here in England you might know more about a knelling of a bell. But it's a bell that is tolling the death of a nation.
Yes.
Now, is that figurative? Is that metaphorically? No. The current events that have happened since that time. Hello? The things that are going on since that time and the lack of response is an indication. The boldness of North Korea, of the Iranian people, of Russia, even now, knocking on borders. Hello? And no, there is nothing now preventing them.
Yeah.
But it seems as though that nation is still alive, it's still operating, it's still moving, it's still having some sort of life within it. But brethren, God said it was dead.
Amen.
It was dead. Jeez. That means there's a catastrophic change coming for me. Huh?
Yeah.
Do you hear me? There's a catastrophic change coming for me that is going to affect me in every aspect of my life when the realization of it is manifested in its fullness.
Oh, yes.
Huh? It's like a man who rejects Jesus Christ. Do you hear me? It's like a man who rejects Jesus Christ. That man, as far as God is concerned, is dead. He's dead. He walks around, he talks, he lives, he eats, he moves, he has a relationship with people around him. But in God's eyes, the man is dead, dead, dead. And one day, he wakes up, he's in hell.
Yes, yes.
Hallelujah. 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 But, you know, I don't think that we really believe it. At least, I don't know of anyone who really got down and said, I want to know whether this word of God is true. You know, you have a responsibility to keep me on the straight and narrow.
Yes.
Hello?
Yes.
You have a responsibility. You have a liability to keep me on that straight and narrow. You are supposed to go to God and say to God, well, you said Brother Bert said this and this and this. Did you really say that to Brother Bert? And do you think that it is not, that God will not speak to you? Hello? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But we do not believe the word of God. Now, you have to go to God. If God says, yes, it is me. It's true. It's a word. Hello? Hallelujah. Then you have to go to God and say, what do I do about it? What is my responsibility? I don't want to get caught with my fingers in the door. Hallelujah. And there's something else the Lord spoke to me today. About buying oil. Huh? Buying oil costs money. That's what it's all about, right? Buying. Is there another term for buying? Another understand for buying? That means you take something that you have, huh, and give it for the purpose of receiving something for in exchange for it, right? Hello? Yeah. Buying oil. I don't know how about you, but when I came today, I had to plan my itinerary. I had to plan the time frame that I'm going to be out of my house. I had to come up with the means by which to pay my ticket. I had to go through all of the logistics of that. And the fact that at the last moment, my wife, the word of the Lord comes that Nancy would not be able, should not travel, and that she should stay home and rest. All of those things are buying oil, if you understand. I can only tell you and relate to you from my personal experience. It's buying oil. Hallelujah. And you know what? I'm here to buy oil. I'm here to receive. I'm here to get what it is I need.
Amen.
What if I was not here?
Amen.
Not that God can't provide you some opportunity, but what if God wants you here at a particular time, at a particular place, for a particular reason, for a particular word?
That's right.
Huh? What if God wants you here? And this is the place you have to buy that oil. Hallelujah. Are you going to, at the end of the day, come to me and say, can I have a little of your oil?
My God.
Can I have a little of your oil? Brother Jokes, give me a little of your oil. I'm your friend. I'm your friend. I've worked with you. I need a little oil. Give me a little of your oil. And as much as you want to give it, what are you going to say? I'm sorry, Brother Bert, but I can't give you my oil.
Oh, God. Oh, Jesus.
I can't give you my oil. Least there not be enough for me. Does that sound Christian? Does that sound Christian? Huh? Not very Christian, but it's God. It's the word of God. It's the word of God. I have a responsibility to buy my oil. Hallelujah. And I buy my oil by fulfilling the word of God. You know, I come in here and somebody brings a message, and that message is pricking my heart. That message is pushing me. That message is sticking me in some way.
Amen.
I have a responsibility to go to God.
Amen.
My responsibility. My responsibility. Hallelujah. And say, God, how is this word applicable to me? And what it is, what do I have to do in order to buy it? What do I have to give up? What do you require of me in the aspect of that exchange? Oh, you have to be more kind. You have to be more gentle. You have to be this. Oh, yes. Praise the Lord. That's all necessary. But at the same time, he's got his hand in my back pocket. Hello? He's got his hand in my back pocket. Or he's got a hand on my time. Or he's got a demand upon what it is I have to do that I don't really want to do. Hello? Hallelujah. We are living in a very critical time. And we something has to change.
Amen.
If we continue to do things that we have done as we have always done them, we are in trouble. Do you hear me? We are in trouble. We are in big trouble. You know, darkness has its place of preeminence. Did you know that? Huh?
Did you know that darkness has a position of preeminence? It has an hour. Do you know it has an hour? Mm-hmm. What the Bible says, what?
This is your hour. The hour of darkness.
This is the hour. What was happening in the hour of darkness?
Judas was betrayed.
Huh? He was betrayed. He was betrayed. He was betrayed. And you know, he initiated it. He says, to whom I give this up, it is he unto whom will who will what? Betray me. It was by his act. Otherwise darkness would not have moved. He had authority over the darkness. Do you hear me? Hello? He had to release darkness into a position or into a place, knowing the consequences of it. Hallelujah. Knowing the consequences of it. Knowing at the end of the day, he was going to be humiliated. He was going to be mutilated. He was going to be beaten unbelievably. And that they were going to curse him and spit on him. They knew it. And yet he had the authority to release it.
Yes.
Why? He had bought his oil.
That's right. Hallelujah.
He had bought his oil. He had bought his oil. Do you hear me? He had bought his oil. Hallelujah. And you know, it wasn't something he could give his disciples. Hallelujah. It was something his disciples had to buy of their own. Hallelujah. If anybody could have had it, they could have had it, but they didn't have it. They just had the means. They had the path to follow. They had the footsteps in which they had to walk. Hallelujah. And you know, God is so gracious because he gave us a sign of immortality and the word. Do you know that? And it's in the historic account of John. Huh? Hallelujah. John had a special relationship with God. John is an example. John is an example of the first fruits company of believers. John was always one lingering in Jesus' presence. John was always the one who was inquisitive and asking questions. John was always the one that was pressing and pressing and pressing God, pressing him. Everybody else was asleep. John would be sitting up with Jesus, talking to him in the twilight of the morning, talking with him. And yes. Jesus was sharing that indelible living word. Oh yes, how do I know that? Well, because of the way John writes.
Yes.
John writes as a witness, not as a man who is a scribe telling a story that is being told to him by another man. He starts it out in John chapter 1. In the beginning. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah. Was the Word, and the Word was with God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. How did John know that? Amen. Because I believe in his fellowship with Jesus Christ, God translated him back in time.
Amen.
And let him see the reality of the world being created. Hallelujah. Amen. And without him was nothing made. Hallelujah. That word was going into John. That word was going into John. And in John, it was displacing the darkness of mortal being.
Hallelujah.
It was pressing out. John was sweating darkness.
Amen.
Hallelujah. The word was going into John, going into John, going into John, and John was growing, not in stature, but in immortality.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And it became so great. It became so real. It became so vital that they couldn't kill him.
Hallelujah.
They couldn't kill him. Why? Because he had the immortal word within him.
Yes.
Immortality of God in John by virtue of a word.
Amen.
What do we have?
Oh God.
Do we have a perishable thing? Huh? Do we have something we put in the refrigerator to keep it? Or put it into the freezer to freeze it? Well, some of us are in deep freeze. Hallelujah.
Your fissure is about to be unplugged.
Oh, yes.
Hallelujah. Brethren, 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 John! Oh, I love it. Love it. Hallelujah. Sitting around listening to the word of it, they're falling asleep. I say that because I saw a vision one day. Only John was awake, laying on the bastard's bosom, looking up into his face. You want to see rapture, you should have seen John's face. Hallelujah. He wasn't there in that world. Hallelujah. The word had lifted him up into a different dimension.
Amen.
The word has a creative power. Every time God spoke, something happened. Something was created. And when God speaks to you, when God says something to you, it isn't something of theology. It isn't something of doctrine. It isn't something that God wants you to take and share with somebody else. God wants to create something within your soul that is indelible, that is immortal.
Hallelujah.
Immortal, do you hear me? Immortal. Oh, we want to take an aspirin. We want to take this and take that. And we want to go to the doctor. Forgive me, sir. Hallelujah. We want to do all of these different things. Why? Because we want to preserve our flesh. Because we cannot believe God. Can you imagine that you and me have the totality of a living God inside of us?
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine that? Oh, I'm just born again. Oh, yes, 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 you're born again. Of what blood are you born? What is the DNA composition? What are the genes that work within that God? Hello? Oh, I'm just human being. You cut me and I'll bleed. Yes, I'll bleed natural blood. But Jesus had no blood when he was resurrected.
Mm. Amen.
He said, I'm flesh and bone. There was something else flowing through his veins.
Yes.
Something that science has been trying to find. They cannot find it. Because they don't believe it. They don't believe it. Oh, they can't figure out why you're dying. It's easy. Sin is death. You sin, you die. But they don't want to believe it. They don't want to believe it. Hello. Hallelujah. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. There was a man that fell over a cliff. And he fell several feet. And he did something. I don't know what he did. There's these things that run up and down your leg. And they attach to the bones or the feet. And make your legs work.
From your toes all the way up.
Yeah. Well, all of those broke. They broke. Do you hear me? They were all wadded up around his ankle. Hello?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. You know what he did? Oh, you get up and rebuke the devil, right? Devil, I rebuke you. I rebuke you, rebuke you. Jesus, heal this leg. Make those things go back where they belong. No. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. And he's hanging on a little piece of wood on the side of the cliff, and there's nothing between him and sudden death but about 36 feet of space. Hallelujah. So he begins to read, and he reads for about 2 hours just reading the word of God. Reading the word of God. Getting strengthened in his character. Getting strengthened in his mind. Getting strengthened in his emotion.
Hallelujah.
Getting strengthened in his body.
Hallelujah.
And he begins to inch his way up that cliff.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. He had to stop a couple of times. Once or twice. And he had to stop and open his little Bible again and begin to read. And then when he gets to the top, he's got this problem now, you know. Leg not working. Leg not working. Leg not working. So he has to sit down and read his Bible. So he begins to read his Bible. How many miles did he walk?
30 miles.
30 miles. Hello? Back to the inn where he was staying. He goes to the doctor. The doctor examines him and says, how are you walking? He says, I am walking by faith.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
By the word of God.
Amen.
No, he just read his Bible. Huh? Yes, amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And you know, the man doesn't have our word. He doesn't have our word. He just believes in God. He believes in God. He believes in the word of God. On a level that is higher than us. And he doesn't have the word that we have. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, there's something that God has committed to. We're not supposed to be doing church. Do you hear me? We're not supposed to be doing church.
That's right.
We are supposed to be doing Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
We're supposed to be creating and developing the nature of God in us.
Hallelujah.
Oh, I go to Ethiopia, and they're so churchy. They're so into preaching and all of that. They do not have this word. Do you understand? And when we bring this word to them in Africa, they sit on the edge of their chair like little birds with their mouths wide open. They don't argue. They don't contend. You come against their pastoral position. You come against their doctrinal positions. You come against their rapture. You come against that. And they just sit there with their mouths wide open. Wanting more and more and more and more. How refreshing that is. You don't have to take like a hammer and beat it into somebody's head. Perfection does not get delivered by the hammer. Perfection gets delivered by the tenacity and the determination of the individual who wants it.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. We're living in a particular age, brethren. We're living in a particular time. Hallelujah. And there's a particular word that has been given to us. And I believe that during this conference,
yes,
hallelujah, there we are going to be instructed as how to buy that oil.
Amen.
Hallelujah. One more little thing and then I'm going to quit. I want to bring up the parable of the rich young ruler. That rich young ruler is you and me. That rich young ruler is the people who have been given a certain word.
Yes.
Mm. Oh yes, and because of that word, we have prospered. We haven't prospered by our natural abilities. We haven't prospered by reason of our education. We haven't prospered by the reason of our entrepreneurship. We have prospered because of a word that has been given to us.
Yes.
The rich young ruler, we didn't told how he made his money. We're only told that he was prosperous.
Yes.
And we are told something else. We are told that that young man was a man who had virtue. He was a man that had a word, a living word. He couldn't have lived the life that he lived if his word wasn't living. Do you understand me? When Jesus asked him, do this, do this, do this, do this, what did he say? I've done all those things from my youth up. Hello? Hallelujah. And you know, we have done many good things. We have helped many causes. We have been involved in many good works. Hello? But it was time for graduation. He had done all that to come to this particular point. Now he had a divine appointment with the reality of the creative word.
Jesus.
It wasn't an appointment with Jesus Christ. Jesus is the word. John chapter 1 again. He was the reality. He was the epitome. He was the fullness of the totality of the word. That young man had now come to a place where he could now be given a higher level of authority. Come, follow me. Oh, yeah, I follow you. Oh, whoa, 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 whoa. Sell all that you have.
Yes.
Put it in an IRA. Well, maybe you don't know what IRAs are. Hallelujah. Put it in a bank account for your retirement. Oh my God. Hallelujah.
Oh, yeah, sure.
No. She said, Sal. Oh,
that's
boy.
Right.
I think he just turned off at that point. Click. Huh? Oh, yes. Just click. Click. Turned off. Sal. Oh.
Yes.
Yes.
Not a half. Not a quarter. Not a tenth. Let's do it that way. Not a tenth. Sal. Oh. Oh. Don't put it in a savings account. Don't put it in a sack and bury it in the earth. Sell all that you have. Sell all that you have. You know, that is a true story. That's not an analogy. That's a true story. It's a true story. And the young man did not have the oil. In spite of all of his good works, in spite of all of his enthusiasm, in spite of all of his excitement about God and the things that pertain to eternal life. That's what he came asking for, wasn't it? What he's asking for? How do I receive eternal life? Jesus could have said, well, you have to wait till I die and resurrect, and you have to accept my blood, and you can be saved. Well, that's how you get saved, isn't it? You must be born again by the blood of Jesus Christ. No, he didn't say that. He said it another way. Sell all that you have.
Yeah.
All that. All. Don't hold back one little portion, one little part, one little piece. Why do you think we're given the story of Ananias and Sapphira? Do you think God is just going to come in here and strike somebody dead for their deception and their working contrary to righteousness? Well, maybe one day. I don't know. I suppose that's possible. Hallelujah. But in the reality of the situation, the moment that that young man turned and walked away, that young man began to die.
Yes.
I don't know what his fate was at the end of the day. Hallelujah. Not my business. My business is understanding and knowing what it is the scripture is saying and as it pertains to me.
Amen.
I have a responsibility. That young man is indicative of me. Not just being young. Hallelujah. And everything that his aspiration and desire was. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We have a responsibility. We have an accountability. There is a position. And God does not want us ignorant of our position of jeopardy.
Mm.
God wants us to have what it is that he has reserved for us. There was a place reserved for that young man. You know, he was the only young man that I could find in the Bible who Jesus Christ gave another personal invitation to.
Yeah.
Individually.
Yeah.
If you find another place, please send it to me so I can find it. I can't find it. It was the only place. And that he is indicative of you and me. Hallelujah. Well, he's indicative of me anyway. Hallelujah. Maybe I'm in just more jeopardy than you are.
Jesus.
So praise God. We have a responsibility. And God is a very, very good accountant.
Mm.
God bless you.
Mm. Oh, Father, I'll show you that.